8th to 9th of January, 73. One right, beginning of visit Mr. Weaver this Tuesday, it's 8th to 9th of January, 1973. On dogs and the chiropractor. One right, on dogs and the chiropractor.
So flat.
But it's nice in your pocket. And it's a sturdy little knife. It's not real sharp, I got a sharp knife.
How big that is?
I got a sharp knife, Mr. Weaver.
See, what I like is to find a nail on one side.
I'm going to show you how.
You know, I'm hot both ways now, Mr. Weaver. I'm hot. I'm just plain hot. Yes, I got to go get the cows out now.
I figured we were going to disturb you, maybe.
What do you mean, disturb me?
I mean, you keep your work. I want to show them here how to, how you've been,
Sit down, Debbie.
Sit here. Sit here now. Look at that knife, Ben.
Oh.
Oh, I swear, do that again. I
want to see
that again.
I've seen that trick. Have sit, Miss Sweet.
Had I showed you that?
Yeah.
I never saw that before.
You let your fingers bend this way.
It looks just like
you. It does, you know that.
That's right. When you bend it down.
Mr. Weaver, Julie was your best dog.
Well, I wouldn't say she's the best, but she's one of the best ones I ever hunted with.
One of the best.
One of the best I ever hunted with.
Anne was...
She was good. I did lots of good dogs and some not so good.
They're usually the gyps that are good, Mr.
What's
Weaver?
That?
The gyps are better than the...
Well, some think they are, and some say they're not, and you need both of them. I find it's best to have some of both.
Uh-huh.
But you're good dogs.
Not all of them. I just told you about two.
Well, Julie was a chip.
Oh, I've owned quite a few good ones and owned lots of them. Most orange have been good ones. So that... I didn't keep them long. I won't keep a dog if it doesn't. Of course, some people like those better than they did ones I liked, you know. They're different styles of hunting. Different styles of people hunters. And some wants one will stay right close to them and go out there and they can talk to it and tell it what to do. I like them. I can turn them loose and they know what to do. Go and do it yourself, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them. Sometimes it comes in good, one don't hunt very far from you on account of you getting a place, just a small place, you go and hunt out. You can pick them up and drop them over somewhere else.
Well, that's what you said Julie did. Didn't you say Julie just stayed right at your feet?
No, Julie hit the ground. She hunted a fox or cat.
Don't tell me.
Oh, when she is afraid to do anything, when I went up to get her in Alabama, a fella raised her in Alabama for me. I got him to lift her up and got him raised for me. And Rena said that she was been sold out, kicked around the clubhouse where they didn't want dogs. And he kept them down there. And afraid of everybody.
That was in Alabama.
Yeah, that was in Alabama.
You had dogs in Alabama?
No, I had friends up there. I'd go up there and hunt, you know, and some of them had some puppies, you see, and they'd say, "We'll keep them for you." I said, "Well, I'll give you one of them if you want to keep them till I come back. Or I'll pay for raising them for me." See, well, they said, "We'd like to have some of them." Says, "We want a dog around the place," and well, they'd get a little, get money out of it, you know. Charge them about $10, you know, to keep them up there. Well, it didn't cost them that much. But they wanted a dog anyway and said, "We may as well pick up that $10, you know." And so that it cost me that, I wonder if I'd raise them myself. And I was busy working and didn't have time to look after them too much. Some of them said we'll take them on the halves. And if they wanted them, as long as they'd keep them and hunt with them when I was up there, I wouldn't take either one of them. to let them keep them.
And you
and
go
when
hunt
I
with
grow
them.
Up next year, I could hunt with them, hear them run, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they want me to take them, I'd pay them what they charge me for raising them for them and take them on.
Mm-hmm.
And see, she is the reason I told you that, how she acted. I didn't go back far enough because I didn't know you wanted to know that or not. Go back.
I just.
And see,
dogs.
She was a little puppy. She was whelped when she was whelped.
Uh-huh.
She was mine.
Oh, I see.
And so I let six of them out up there from the race. Some of them kept there, and one fellow lost mine. His too. Distemper killed him. Both of us lost it, you see.
Distemper.
Distemper killed him, you see. He didn't
have that.
They had a distemper, and they got about over it, you know, and he turned in and let them out. And they pulled out the woods hunting and run all night and come in one freezing night and died.
Uh-huh.
Killed them, run themselves. Killed them going out. If he hadn't turned them out, you know, and kept them up, they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And my brother-in-law, I don't know how long he kept one up there. Then I let another brother-in-law, and he said it had the mange or something. He never could cure it. Now I've forgotten what he did with it. I let him have it and keep it.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't. You just don't. This timber don't kill them now.
Oh, mine, it kills lots of them. This timber killed them. Vaccination killed them sometimes now.
Well, the
ruins them.
Well, now in Alabama in 1920, you didn't have to worry about this timber. I mean, they didn't have the vaccination then.
Yeah, but listen, dogs about every 20 years have this timber there. Now they have it every year nearly. If you vaccinate a dog and it gives it the fever, it goes around the other young dogs. After 3 years old, we don't hardly ever have distemper.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched that all my life.
Wow.
And puppies will take it. You know, you can vaccinate one puppy and put it in with a letter and he'll give it to every one of them.
Oh, my.
I've seen that done, too. Mr. White, there's over here at Wilson, he had a letter of puppies over there, and the distemper killed every one of them.
Oh, you
next year, he had two letters of puppies.
What kind of a hunter was he?
He was where I got to. He was a stud dog. He was a fox hunter.
He's a fox hunter?
What?
Yeah, and he hunted deer, too. He deer and fox hunter.
Hmm.
That's over here. He is the one that a few years ago that went to Tallahassee and our airplane fell with him. Never did know what went wrong. But there's a tornado up that way, you know, and he must have run into that.
He had foxhounds?
Yeah, at 18.
Did you all run?
Huh? All of them runners. And then the puppies, too.
And you hunted with him?
Yeah, I hunted a whole lot with him. Yes, sir.
Well, that must have been... Well, that wasn't when you hunted with Ed Rush, was it?
Oh, I hunted Red Rush long about that time, too. Long way before and after, too. I hunted some of him. Mr. Whitehurst and I didn't hunt so very much together. He came over here. We went 10, 15 times together, different times, you know. Cat hunting, and his dogs. And he didn't like the cat hunting much, and he never did come back anymore.
You cat hunting with him?
Yeah, Bobcat.
Bobcat?
Yeah. You ought to see them there while they come right up, slip right up on you and lie right there.
Bobcat?
Yes, sir. If you think so, you don't see him.
With your dogs there?
Huh?
With your dogs there?
Dogs will run them and catch them and kill them.
And that bobcat slip up right beside you?
What is it?
You mean when you got your dogs out there, that bobcat will come back to you?
No, I say it can, but I'm down if they don't know I'm standing there. They'll come eating up and be ready still, and I'll watch them, you know.
Oh, I see.
You've had them do that.
Yeah, and they're slick. You can't hit one of them. You try to kill it or anything.
Uh-huh.
They're slick, and they're shrewd, you see.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm going to go to coffee.
You know what, maybe you'd like
well,
that.
Now, Julie didn't run those bobcats.
Yeah, the one she caught more cats than that dog we had.
Julie?
Yes, sir, and stayed there holding them out until the other dogs got there and helped her kill them. And Julie was a good cat dog.
Well, you had Julie and you had little Ann. But you had more dogs, good dogs than that.
Oh, yes, I had three or four, well, let's see, Mayflower and Little Ann was mates. I had Mayflower is mother of Dan and Lindy. Dogs I give late the other day. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Mayflower, that's right. I recollect Mayflower. Well, you hunted Mayflower and Ann together. That's right.
I hunted them. They reared together. I raised them and hunted them. Both of them. That's the one I told you about, Mayflower, was a little lamb and lost at that time.
Well, you didn't ever lose your dogs out in Alabama.
Well, they'd come back, you know. They'd come back to where I put them out at. You see, and I stayed down and waited. When I go off, we're off somewhere else. I don't leave that place until they... Sometimes you got to stay a day and night there before they get back. Mm-hmm. They get after something to leave. But we always got the dogs up there, and at that time when I was doing hunting up in Alabama, that's back in the 30s mostly when I hunted in Alabama, I'd go up there and visit my father and mother. I'd carry my dogs, what I had, a part of them. If I had a pretty good bunch, I didn't carry them all. Let somebody down here keep them.
How big a bunch?
Huh?
How big was a pretty good bunch?
Pretty good bunch. Well,
10?
40 and 50s counted a good big bunch, but I know they'd have over 10 or 12.
Ooh, some of you have 50?
Yeah, a lot of these hunters runs that many dogs. See, if you've got to, you know, if a dog gets hurt or is hurt like 60, I haven't got no dogs around. Some of them keep them that way. See, I can't afford to keep many dogs now. Then I'm going to have to hate no use in keeping if I can't go one, two or three hunts in a year. You know, you see, I don't have any. We'll carry my dogs out and pick them up now. I can't go on now. What do you need to keep a dog for?
Well,
I don't have my car fixed there, huh?
Yeah.
When you go out hunting though, Mr. Weaver, would there be how many of you'd go? Just, I mean, would you just hunt with?
Well, usually about two or three or four. If I took a notion to go hunting when I had a pretty good. Several dogs, you know, I'd go out by myself most of the time. Somebody else happened to come along, wanted to go, I'd carry them with. Not very many, there haven't been very many fox hunters around here. See, I quit doing anything with fox hunting. I don't care about anything else much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that fox hunting is nice.
Well, you see, those field trials, you see, if they had 900 on that field trial you was looking at a while ago over there, if they had 900, you know that, that was, must have had a lot of people there.
Sure.
900, let's see, how many did you say, 900 and what?
I don't recollect.
I don't remember myself.
I like just those hunts you go on. Just up North Alabama. That must have been something.
Well, we had Red Fox up there and Gray's Moose to run up there.
Uh-huh.
You had what?
Red Fox up in Alabama and Gray's too up there to run.
What we got down here?
Gray's mostly. Red won't stay here hardly.
Won't stay?
Too conspicuous?
I don't know where they can stand the trees. It's too hot for them, I reckon. See, they're northern fox.
Oh, are they?
They've turned loose a few down here, but they didn't know what went with them.
Oh.
Mr. Keep, he is from Michigan. He shipped some down here to his brother. They turned loose around here. Red fox is something, but they don't care. I don't think too much of. They get started, if you have chickens out here, if they get started with chickens, they'll come up there and catch all you can.
They like chickens.
Yeah, a gray don't care much about chickens.
Yeah.
They're not foul. They eat rats.
Now, I know this Keep down here, Mr. No, he died.
Yeah, you friend.
Yeah.
Well, his brother Emily is one that hunt with me, and I've hunted quite a bit with him, too. That's a good fella.
Emily
Keep, and they hunted with him.
E-M-M?
Yeah, Emily Keep. He's down there now. I haven't seen him. He usually goes off in the summer out west and stays a while. I think he went the year before last year. He was sick and didn't go. Last year, I think he did.
Was this Frank Keep?
That's Frank's brother. You knew, and
I knew Frank, and I liked him.
Frank was a fine fellow. Emily is. Emily was the one that I got in 55. He raised those dogs that I got and got to breed him from. We hunt together. We hunted together, you know. And he kept one there. They tried for 2 years to get the fund. Wouldn't run anything. I told him I'd take it.
Yeah.
I took it and kept about 6 months and went running and let a fella have it. It's 7 years old and it's still a good dog. But it's just an accident. You do that, it's not really worth it to fool one that's been treated like that dog was. Well,
which dog was that? That wasn't kin to Mayflower.
That was Mayflower's mother.
The one that he gave you.
And she was 2 years old before she'd run anything. Kill every chicken she could get a hold of.
Oh, don't tell me. Now they made a fight dog out of her?
Huh?
They made
a chicken, I reckon that's why she wouldn't run. That's because they whipped her for it.
Oh.
And she went ahead, you see, and I went ahead and you could get these chicken necks. And in the backs for 10 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a whole lot of those and kept feeding her with it. I did. When I went to feeding her on it, you know, she is it's kind of a sickly kind of type of dog. And when I went to feeding her on it, I doing it for a change for her. And after I got to think about it, I was thinking, I'm going to feed her chicken necks and bones just raw and let her get enough chickens. And I don't know whether that's what stopped her and what it done or not, whether that stopped or not, but I imagine feeding so many of them, she got tired of chicken. That's the only way I could figure it.
But you didn't think of that to start with.
No, I didn't think about that before it was, but you know, after I got to feeding these chicken necks, I said, that may cause, may stop her from doing that. Of course, lots of dogs, after they get older, will quit killing chickens. I wish I could speak these words a little plainer.
What's her name?
That was Mayflower's mama.
That was Mayflower. That was Miss Needles is her name. Mr. Keep name that dog, Miss Needles.
Miss Needles?
Miss Needles.
What the
hell? He raised her. He bred, shipped Peggy Keep to Virginia and bred the Fox Hill Rain.
Shipped who?
Say that again.
Shipped to Peggy Keep.
Yeah.
Was registered in his name. And he shipped her to up in Virginia. I can't remember the place. Bred her to Fox Hill Rain. Uh-huh. And she had 13 puppies and saved two of them. Basically all of them died but two.
Mm-hmm. And
distemper and veterinaries and all, we was all trying to save him.
Yeah.
And saved two of them, and so that he decided to quit hunting, and he gave her to a fellow over at Palatka, and then he brought her back over here, and Frank bred her to one of his dogs that he couldn't register, and he didn't want the puppies, and he asked me if I'd take her and keep her for her. And I did. Then I raised the fella over at Palatka, a dog puppy, and gave him for her. He wouldn't sell her to me. But I raised him, and he took the dog puppy, and she wouldn't run a deer. Needles wouldn't run a deer.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't run stock. And he took the dog puppy, and that's the way I got Needles. That's the mother of Mayflower. Mayflower, and that was Mother Dan and them.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
And so, just like you, and you breeding your cows, you
well,
know.
Well, that is the middle, what was that, the middle 50s?
No, that's the 50s. See, I think Needles was whipped in 54 or 55.
Yeah.
54 or 55, something like that. Mr. Keep decided to quit hunting. his health wasn't good.
No, it was bad for a long time.
Well, I mean Emily. Well, Emily's bad now. His health's bad now.
Well, you hunted needles then.
Well, Emily's one that had the dogs down there and sent them to Frank. Shipped those foxes down there for Frank to turn loose.
That's
right. Well, as keep it, you know, his brother.
Mm-hmm. Frank's brother.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have seen needles hunting. Now, that would have been something.
Well, she wouldn't hunt for me for a long time to run nothing. For 6 months, I guess, or longer. But she, when she did start, she was just as good as we had.
She didn't babble?
Never babbled. She didn't bark wrong or anything.
Made
a good dog, but that don't happen very often.
No.
That's just kind of an accident.
Well, when you say babbling...
Well, that's barking. Turn it loose, it goes to barking. When you turn it loose, not after anything, or strike another dog's track, running dogs, barking wrong, mm-hmm. when it shouldn't, not after fox or, see, on these fields, that's what you all been reading now, if they catch one to do it, they scratch him, he goes to the pen. They don't let him run anymore.
Yeah.
They don't let that fox run anymore.
He's a bad influence.
Yeah, well, he'll get there and run his other dogs. And that's what to try how the field trials for us to try to cut those out. Wow. That's those big breeders. It's not little fellows like me, you know. Little hunter. I'm not much of a hunter myself. I like it, but not a big hunter. It is. Those fellows, you know, sometimes has 200 puppies one time.
Good Lord.
Those big breeders, they sell them in for a business. They got large kennels.
Sure.
Just like people having dairy and these big cattle men having large cattle.
Now, there. Emily Keep, when he came down here, he wasn't in the business.
He was aimed to go in it, but backed out. He was going to go to raising dogs and selling them. Mm-hmm. But his health got once so good, and he decided to have so much hard luck with that litter of puppies. He lost so much money on them, you know. He bought them all kind of feed and fed them, you know, and he was feeding them horse meat, and I tried to keep him from it, but that's too strong for a puppy.
Horse meat
is. It's just like you have to watch your cattle out here. You know you know what to feed them. You've got to feed anything to what it needs.
Well, Mr. Weaver, those kennels, I guess they don't hunt them that much.
Oh, but they hunt them a great deal, but they have other fellas hunting and training dogs for them all the time.
Well, they do farm them out.
Yeah. It's just like you'd have... some cattle here, you didn't have room.
We're not interested in cattle now. You stay on dogs.
Well, okay. Now what is you want to know?
Well, I just think those kennel fellows, I guess they just really never get to enjoy hunting. Why, you could just go out with your dogs.
Oh, they can. Those fellows running the kennels, they hunt a great deal and go to these fields out. But they have men training these dogs and train them to stand on the bench, and they have men, you see one you was talking about, the cat paws?
Hmm.
Well, that's the kind that stands up better on the bench. Those that look like a fox foot, long and slimmer, they're usually the ones that go into field trials and running. That's sad.
Well, you didn't run your dogs in field trials that much.
I never did run mine in field trials. Yeah. I just hunted because I like to hunt.
Well, now that must be nice that you stay out 2-3 days at a time.
Well, you know what I told you when I lost the dog.
But you hunt 2-3 days at a time sometimes, don't you?
No, I don't run 2-3 days. if there's a dog out there, I go back and hunt for it.
Oh.
Pick it up when it comes back in or lost. And the other fellas does the same thing. They do that same thing, too. All these other hunters.
Well, I thought you could just go out and just keep up with the dogs all night long.
Run? No, ain't nobody. You sit down and listen and drive around and listen.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
You in the car?
Yeah, drive a car around. You can't keep up with dogs running the fox. They used to ride horses, but there's too many fences. You can't do that anymore. And too rough.
Yeah, too rough.
Too rough. You used to ride horses back when you and I was young. That's what I first hunted with, his own horses.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I didn't have no car to carry my dogs. We'd carry an old buggy and load the dogs in the buggy and trot the dogs and go out hunting with them, you know. When we would go off, well, sometimes go 15 miles, you know, and spend a day or two with someone.
Yeah.
And they'd come visit us, you know, and bring their dog.
Where would you go? Over towards, like we used to go to the river bottom. Now, you wouldn't, you'd go to the woods.
We'd go into the woods, but we had rivers up in North Alabama, too. But the fox up there run up around hills and bluffs more, down in low places. But now, they didn't run on the rivers too much.
Yeah.
Fox didn't in North Alabama.
No.
But now down here, they have to run in the rough down here because we got no hills and mountains here for them to run on. A red fox, he wants to get away up on these mountains and listen. Gray fox,
does he?
Yeah, he'll listen to the dogs, and he can tell right for about how far they are behind him and stand there and watch. I'll sit down and watch this fox just to see the nature of him. Stand there and watch him myself, you know, and the dogs are trailing, and he dodged them. And he'd maybe stand there for 30 minutes. I've watched them for 30 minutes. They didn't move. When that dog began to move and get him figured out, then coming in towards where I was at, he'd get up and leave, you know, and pull out, and he'd leave from our redding real quick.
Oh.
Make a long, straight run. They can run a dog to death in the end of those redding stands.
Well, you could just get on a horse and follow it down, couldn't you?
Well, we didn't follow right in after them. We'd have to drive or run roads in open places where we could go. But we could get, we know we knew where they were going in sick places, bluffs and cliffs and ivy thickets. Now, in that story that fella written up here that you read the other day, gives you some of that idea on that.
Bluffs and cliffs and what sort of thickets?
And, see, we called them swamps, I believe, up there.
Ivy thickets?
Yeah, ivy thickets. You know what ivy thicket is on bluffs and cliffs, and as they grow in there, they stay green all the time. If your cow eats it, it'll kill it. Eat that green leaf and one time and kill it.
Well, you probably had to keep your horse out of that, too.
Horse, well, the horses, I know, I don't remember of knowing a horse to eat, but the cows in the wintertime when green stuff got scarce up there, they'd eat it. They'd kill it.
Well, I was just thinking,
after eating, it's much better to do, keep them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyhow, any place is a little cover. And
yeah, thick places and rocks, they'd dodge around there now. While then, they'd get a figure, sink and slip off, and the dogs would pull out and go maybe 3 or 4 or 5 miles and to get into another place and dodge while there. Well, you couldn't walk over there. You'd have to sit down and wait, and wait till your dogs come back in here.
Yeah.
You'd have to come back and do that.
Yeah.
You couldn't go on to follow them. Now, if you had a car to drive around, you'd cut them off. We'd do that, and sometimes we'd ride a horse back at that time, ride a horse around. Of course, now a lot of people don't care nothing about it.
Just slide out in your buggy and put the dogs in the back of the buggy.
Oh, yeah, let them, some of them trot along behind you, you know, and ride on so you get where you're going to stop and build up a big fire up there in the wintertime.
Oh.
Down here now, they got to where they won't let you build a fire. You can't get out too much when it's cold like tonight.
Yeah, you build a big fire up there.
You sit there and your dogs run all around, you know, and when next morning, when they treed, the dogs begin to come back before you stop that.
Up to the fire?
Yeah, they come back to where that you, and if you, they came back there and you'd already gone home, they'd pull out home. See, they'd trotted up there, they knew the way home.
Yeah.
They knew the way home, they'd come back home, you didn't have to hunt them.
They'd go right along the old dirt road.
Yeah, they'd come the road or come right through the woods in the nearest way.
Oh, would they?
Yeah, they'll do that. Now then, since they got highways up there, they get killed.
After all, they have hunted that country enough. They ought to know the shortest way home, on it.
Yeah, if they run in a place there. But it's an instinct that a dog will go a long ways coming back hunting for its master. It's an instinct, them dogs.
Oh, is it?
And they just nice to come back and hunt for the master, especially if you raise them yourself and feed them yourself. They're going to hunt for you. If somebody don't catch them, or they get killed, they'll come back. They'll eventually come back.
Did you ever have a dog that went a real long way looking for you?
Well, I've heard them and followed them as far as 10 miles.
Mm.
And then come back.
And
then
go back
through. They'd go back through.
Well, you could just blow your horn and get them, couldn't you?
If they're hunting for you, ready to come back, weren't running.
That horn won't do no good if they're running.
Not if they're running. They're satisfied. They won't come back to you. But if they are listening for you and you blow that horn, they're going to come to you right straight to that horn.
Yeah.
After they're trained, if they're trained that way.
Yeah.
Just like your cattle out here. You know, you went out there the other day and brought them right up to me.
You know,
they understood what you wanted.
They didn't do it today, though, Mr. Weisman.
They didn't today.
No, they got all mixed up. Big ones and little ones, and all I did was fight. I was butt and fight, and I couldn't manage them. You got a bat. What's that finger? You got a finger that was chewed off?
Yeah, it's cut off from my brother, yeah, no.
And it growed back.
No, part of that. Now that's you talking about this and this one right here, aren't you? You talking about this one right here that was eat off back in here and turning purple all back down in here,
yeah.
And got to hurting real bad.
And that's when you how did you cure it with that?
Well, I'll tell you, I cured it when I was putting castor and sulfur and grease on my dog.
Yeah.
I tried to keep it away from him to start with, and
yeah.
I said, I went to one and figured it out.
Yeah.
So that it began to seem to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I got to watching it. Right there, weak, and there's fleas on my dogs, you know. Around a flea, I'd put castor sulfur and grease on it. So that I got to then go and put it in grease.
Yeah.
I mean, in kerosene, not sulfur and grease. I used to get this knife back in my pocket before I lay it down and I leave it.
Now, if you got the infection out of it.
Well, I don't know what killed it, but that's the only thing I did for it, and it got well.
Yeah, but then you used your chiropractor on it.
Yeah, I used this to keep
circulation. Now, how do you do that?
Do it right across for you this way. And work it.
Well, that's like you're working on
like you're doing on my toe. You want to work the other way.
Listen, see, you're using your hand. You rub it enough this way.
Yeah.
Then when it, you don't rub it this way, you got to do that yourself.
Yeah.
And you see these big joints I got?
Yeah.
They hurt me a whole lot. You see that? That's too large.
Yeah.
But if it gets hurt me, getting larger, I go doing it this way and rubbing it this way. Keeps the circulation, and that takes care of nature. Takes care of it.
Oh, I see. If you got a big joint there,
if you got one, now there's a big one on this thing right here.
You do it against the grain, so to speak.
You keep it so the circulation, the blood, and the nerves, and all that working in there, that'll let that go on out there. And if you don't, it'll get for this year and something set up in this part down here.
Yeah.
It sure does feel good.
But it hurt when it's really, when it's hurting me, I rub it hard.
Oh, do you?
I rub it hard, right? Like,
you
just
can
like
rub
that.
It hard, too.
Hard? You got to hold it. You got to make that
you
circle.
You can
go.
Do that, boy.
Hmm?
You took
show
all
me
kind of.
Oh, well, this man's got
just
much
a
more stretching than I have. You rub it just this way.
Yeah.
Now you first start rubbing it not too hard.
Now go ahead till I holler.
And then when you got. I can't bear with my, let me, I can bear hard with this one. I can't use this hand too big.
Yeah, that gets it. Yeah.
Listen, don't go too hard.
And when it starts to hurt, that's you bear down on it.
When it's sore, it'll hurt you, but it won't hurt you so bad to mash it that way if it's not sore. If it needs rubbing, it'll hurt you when you rub it. And don't rub it too hard to start with, just gradually getting a little harder until you get that soreness out of it.
Yeah.
And if you, like this here, this one's a flattening out on you. You rub it this way and make it get back straight now.
How do you mean flattening out?
You see, it's flatter than it is this way. It's supposed to be more rounder. Your fingers are natural.
It's flatter this way and it's
the one of them I felt right there. Now, that's caused from you lifting and picking up things and straining with it, causing that to flatten out. Well, if you want to go back, you have to rub it on the side this way to get it to go back like that.
Yeah.
And it's simple after you get the house done. I noticed the way that chiropractic doctor did me, you see, and everything, tried to remember it, but I didn't remember near all of it. But practicing, or it came back to me.
You had to work it all out again, sort
yeah,
of.
I don't know. I don't know nothing what they know. I'll tell you what, too, it's good for you if you ain't hurting, go and take a treatment.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, everybody gets a clot every now and then. Everybody's liable to, you see, if you
liable
get bruised.
It kills you.
If you get bruised. If you don't
that's
know what
right.
it is, it could kill you, couldn't it?
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right.
Now, on that clot business, let me see how you do that.
Show them how I showed you.
Well.
Listen, right here. Come right on. Let me show you. They won't see it. If you can just sit down there and... Only thing I know is just do it this way and just work it that way and just let it go on down, go
yeah.
out your foot.
Yeah.
And come right on
right
down.
On down the leg.
Yeah. I'll let you come over here and try it and see how it feels.
Well, you show me.
Yeah.
Now you all can do each
other. He ought to feel how that feels.
Well,
that really feels.
Let me. Now then, how can you feel that?
Oh, I can feel that.
You get right in. You get right on the muscle, don't you?
Oh my!
Right there.
Do that on it, though. Let me see you right here.
Well, you know, you can't just push everywhere and get the same feeling.
No, Mr. Weaver's going down the side, aren't you, Mr. Weaver?
Oh, I can see it. That feels good.
Feels better after you do it.
Oh, it does feel good.
Feels better, don't it?
Yeah.
After you do it a little bit, it don't hurt then. That's the circulation nerve there. Your foot can go to sleep, and you do it that way and put them down there, wake it up right quick.
Oh,
it's a circulation that you put, you say they
now
go to sleep.
That's just as warm there, where you did that? Oh, that's warm. Yeah.
You got circulation in there, I believe you got a little up there.
Yeah.
You got some nerves in there too.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I bet.
Oh, my. I can feel that.
You see that grip, Mr. You all put it up like this.
Yeah, now I'm going to let you all do it. I'm afraid to do it on account of
this. You don't have to.
You pull it up this way, see, each one, I believe that we called it this way. See me?
Yeah.
Then you... seen which one had the most grip, and hold now. I can't pull much on it now, and I'm afraid to just see who turned it in the hand. See, you let yours turn purple.
Yeah, I'm
keep
them
hurting me.
All right,
now come on. I want you to grip a little bit.
You can see right there.
That's good for you to see which one can pull down. See, you just play them.
You've done it right smart of that.
Yeah, I did when I was caught up. Then we'd get a hold of a pole and chin it. See how many could go up and chin it some more. Has to be able to strengthen muscles up. And that was what that was for. Here's what I want to do. You want me to show him this?
Mm-hmm.
I'll show him a little something. Come in. I want to see him do this for me. I can't do it because it wouldn't do for me to do it. I want you to get down on your toes now.
Toes?
Yeah, get down on your toes. Put those two fingers together. Head out straight. Straight out this way, and I'll show you how to stand. I can't do it, I'm afraid. Get your toe. You ain't got your fingers for a little part. Now, don't put again nothing now. Now, go down and let your nose touch the floor in between there. Now, come back up.
Oh, you got a push.
That's a good press. That builds a strength in your arms and your whole body.
Yeah.
Exercise. That's exercise you want to take, sir. That's good. You don't go ahead and ask me.
Mr. Weaver, on your grip. I never did have a grip. Now, how do you get a grip?
Now, to grip, you just take a hold and just see which one can mash the hardest.
Yeah, but I never could do that.
Well, now, come
I
on.
Never did have any grip at all. You see, look at that, you see?
Now, the secret is, most people don't know to cup the hand and grip right in there, and the other part can't make you hard.
Oh. I say that
and you
again.
Can take right this way. Now see, this is just done for fun and playing.
Sure.
But it's practice the grip. You're that way. See? And they mash that knuckle out and you couldn't grip as much for mashing that knuckle over. And it didn't hurt my fingers down there.
Oh yeah.
Well, it hurt yours.
Yeah.
But it don't mind.
Let's see this.
So you got a
grip. Mash.
You got me.
You gotta watch.
You see, I'm not gonna mess you too up.
But you got me.
Now see how? Now grip my hand. I'm not going to grip yours.
Yeah.
You ain't hurting mine.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm gripping, but I mean, you don't know it. It's a grip. If I let it be relaxed, you can hurt it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just showing you that, see? We did that when we was kids and playing, you know, and had fun. And to build your strength in here,
yeah,
you do this away.
See that?
Yeah, see, I'm afraid to do too much.
I'm afraid to do too.
Now you can do that and build your muscles up that way.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are good for you.
Uh-huh.
And it's
now, just the ordinary working and walking around and fiddling around won't build your muscles.
No, well, it does. It builds it some. When it's tied up, you overwork too. And then if you do these, this will help to build it back up and give you strength.
Is this pretty good for muscle building?
Yeah, any muscle you hit's good.
Is that right?
Grip your hand while you're doing that now.
Grip your hand?
Yeah, let me show you now. Right. Now that didn't hurt. That's, you ain't gripping now. Don't grip now.
Don't grip?
No.
Ooh, ooh.
That hurt?
Yeah.
Now grip. You don't feel
hurt.
Right
now, no.
I teach you hard to make him. Yeah. See, that shows the muscles and the grip that takes care of you. That's the way these wrestlers does and boxers and those things.
Well, now you were saying the fella could, you see, when you was in pretty good shape there, a fella could just hit you in the middle there and send you 10, 15 feet,
yeah,
and it wouldn't hurt you.
Well, if you've got that built up, but mine ain't built up now.
Well, I don't see how anybody could hit you. You mean just hit you?
You just hit you this way, you weight against you. You see, you can get no kafar out of the car. We just never do nothing but this way.
Is that right?
And it's spraying
your
foot, and you don't have to do that every time.
Yeah.
See, that's the way those boxers, don't you know those boxers, how they do? They train just that way, and they have the trainers, they don't do it when, you don't see them when they're wrestling. And boxers, they have trainers do that, and somebody else, and they get out and box to train people.
Oh.
It's pretty tough when they hit you right. And if you're relaxed and they hit you, they knock you out a lot of times. One, you happen to be relaxed, you know. If you hit on his muscle, it don't hurt him much.
Yeah.
After you've seen him look like...
As long as he's got his muscle grip.
Yeah, but if you don't, and you've got to keep your muscles hard yourself. You've got to do that. And, of course, it pays you to have yourself when you're working. How you put out there to be a cow? If you, when you grab that cow to hold it, you've got to put your strength in your muscles quick.
Sure.
To hold that cow.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say grab a dog,
anything you grab. Now, like if you was out playing, want to see which one could slow down and things like that. If you've been practicing all that, if that fella happens to hit you a little hard, it don't hurt you.
No.
But if you're soft and don't know how to guard against it, it does hurt you. I wish I could get out and play with the boys now, but I can't do anything like that. I'm too bad. Got too much wrong with me.
I never guess that. I guess that hitting on it would do it.
Any of that's good for us. See, as old as I am, I'm supposed to be still. But it would be from still, but I keep exercising myself, you know, trying to keep it from it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Beaver, what did what did that baseball do to your knuckles and your fingers?
Well, what made these knuckles this way, I was trying to reach on and get that ball and just got me in my finger and got it.
Yeah.
That's what done that.
Yeah. And now, if you was going to protect yourself, you wouldn't let it hit anything.
No, but see, what I was playing for was to get that ball, not let it get away and let that man get a score. That's what that was done for.
Yeah.
See, not let that man get the score.
Yeah. And then you'd go ahead and play with it.
Well, if it was too bad, and here, I'll tell you what made mine. I couldn't let my dad know it, and mother. They wouldn't let me play it anymore. I was a plowboy, and I got mine hurt, and while they stayed crooked, I had to plow, and I wouldn't run. If I did, they wouldn't let me go and play some more ball. And so that's why mine's crooked as plowing.
So that goes way back.
Yeah, when I was little, when I was young, working it on the farm. And all of that comes in to, you see, if I'd have went ahead and told them and let them put something down and held it straight, it wouldn't have been crooked right away now. Wouldn't have been that way. But if they go to hurting, I'll go to rubbing this way and it helps it, you know, to keep them hurting.
That's really how you get, your headache, now when you got that crick in your, in your neck, like
first,
the barber.
You first start rubbing this way, not too hard on the fellow. If you ever had it, he's going to, won't let you.
Yeah.
You have to be careful and play with him a little bit, rub and get this coming down.
Yeah. And get the muscles sort of relaxed.
And get your nerves and your blood circulating, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I give shampoo in the barbershop.
Yeah. But now you find that crick and you find out where it is pretty quick, don't you?
Well, you know about where it is, you see.
Well, he'd tell you.
Now then, you see, you let him rock his head this way. Just look, don't jerk it too hard now. And he's letting it limber. That'll pop right here. He's done out. I got out today for him.
Yeah.
Done popped. Now then, he won't let me.
Well, that's enough. He popped it one way. But it's supposed to pop, ain't it?
Well, if it's wrong, if it ain't nothing wrong with it, it won't hardly ever pop.
Oh, it won't.
But if it's sore, you don't fool with them unless it's sore.
And
you don't
pop.
Doubt if it goes hurting. You can hear it top, literally. Let me show you how that's done now. You let your head be still now.
It did a little bit.
Did a little, didn't it?
Yeah, I can feel. Just go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That'll make that, that's where that thing is set. It's cold or something, I reckon.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. I just learned these little few little things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Did it pop?
Mm-hmm.
How you go about the headache when you get a little headache?
Well, you just start walking this way. You see, these Google veins pushes this blood up through here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it comes back here, and it'll get what won't go through. Just go working.
Oh, yes.
Working this way and working it down this way. For the headache.
Oh.
You can stop at 9 times out of 10. Now, if your Google veins is going a little bit too fast, too hard right
uh-huh.
there, you hold this and mash this way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that kept that from shooting too much blood up in there.
Oh, sure.
Going down.
Oh, sure.
So it's not necessarily the nerve that makes it.
Not
hurt.
Every time. It's maybe the circulation and maybe the nerve.
Yeah.
But
well, now the chiropractor, that's for the circulation.
Well, it's for both. But they won't tell you that. I just had to get that, figure that out myself. They won't tell you what they're doing it for, but they do these.
Well, I suppose it's for the nerve.
Well, you work on the nerves in there, too.
Oh, just work on the
oh,
nerves.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you got them in there, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Got them in there?
Oh, yes.
You see, you work on that. And now it makes it, when you excite that nerve, that makes your blood flow, too. And it helps on those blood clots or anything like that.
Toothache.
I've stopped the toothache category. But do you know what a stop the toothache did on me one time when nothing ever wouldn't? I took some whiskey and turned my head this way and held it on that there for a while and spit it out.
You can
and it even stopped the toothache on me one day. Just pure whiskey. But if you swallow it, it'll make your blood thing go worse too there.
Mm.
Don't swallow it. Put it on your tooth and hold it. Just turn your head and hold it for a long time on that till it gets easy. It'll look like that whiskey will ease that.
You know, now a lot of these little things in the barbershop, like that crick, Mr. Weaver, a barber could, ain't no reason why a barber couldn't kind of massage that and pop it a little bit.
All barbers nearly did at that time. Now there's few, but now then, you see, the doctors and all like that, they won't let
you
do it. You
mean some of them did then?
A lot of them did it.
How'd they learn?
They just from one barber to another.
Yeah.
One fella tried to help him out, and he sure would be someone to come in, you know.
Yeah.
See, used to, we didn't have barber colleges, and when I came up and learned the barber, and the barbers would tell me and help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd go and give my business, you know, and care of the people in their barbershop.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to be a barber, you see, to learn how to barber, you know, and they helped me.
Yeah.
And we didn't have barber college. I started one time to come to Jacksonville to Gus Barber College. And the reason I didn't come, I was almost ready to come. Sold everything, got everything but my horse. And I hadn't sold it. And I was talking to a barber one day and told him what I was planning on doing, what he thought about it. Says, ain't a bit of use in the world. You go into the barber shop. Says, I've seen your haircuts.
Is that right?
He says, I'll give you
come
a job. Howdy. But there are lots of things going to the barber college that it takes you a long time to learn that you would get there.
Yeah.
And they've got books for you to learn telling you how to do and what to do.
Yeah.
Now, that we didn't have. And it's good if you can go to a barber college. But it takes you a long time to
yeah.
shave and do all these.
But it's good if you know it already.
Yeah, it's good
know
to know.
So
yeah.
If,
well,
if
see,
you've got to start, if you've got to start out like that stump barbering.
Yeah.
Over there, that's tedious.
I'd have to do all that figuring myself. I'd go to town and sit in the barber shop and watch these barbers. That's the way I had got mine. Watch these barbers, how they cut that hair. And I said, I don't believe I could ever do it, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to try and see if I can ever get to where I can cut hair. And it takes a lot to practice. And the shaving, let me, I think I can find my little knife. I want to show him on the face how you use a razor shave. And you haven't seen nobody shave with a straight razor.
No, I haven't.
This won't cut you now.
I hope
get
not.
On over here. Now then, I lather his face good and rub it this way and all like this and put this soap all over his face like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, be
that's
still.
Right.
Now, don't
you
really
never had
it.
A straight razor.
Look here. See, here's where you catch your razor right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now then, if I pull this way, it won't cut much.
All
but
right.
Here's the way you push it around this way.
Oh, it is.
Why, Mr. Weaver?
Now look at it, go right back up that way, it won't cut it.
Yeah.
I can take the sharpest razor
right?
There and just rub it all over your face. If you won't talk and move, I won't
yeah.
cut it. I'll just take it up this way, start up here, and come on down here with it.
Is that right?
And all around in here. And
but it
way.
Won't go straight.
Then I can go right this way, you see.
Yeah.
But see, I don't shave it. See, you do it like that, you catch his nose and you come this way.
Yeah.
It's just as easy for me to do, you know, now. And boy, I couldn't do that for a long time.
Yeah.
Took a lot of practice for that.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, they shaved this one. All right, if I wanted to go back up, I held the skin tight. Scott, how do you pull the skin with this hand easy that is on that man to shave?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Pull his. Someone catch him putting me around that way. I never did do that. I wasn't talking about it. Pushing him the horse's nose. You know, you might put shoes on.
Yeah, I know about pushing the horse's nose. You showed me that too.
It shows off what you did to his nose.
Huh?
By twisting the horse's nose.
Show him that?
Yeah.
Show them how I done it. You see, a horse can't breathe through its mouth, nor a cow. A horse can't. And a cow can't breathe through the mouth. They don't breathe through the mouth. You see them hassling, slobbering, all like that, but they don't. You catch a horse right that way, and he may run with his little piece, but you mash down in our heart, add him one there, and he'll carry out time. But a little bit, you come back, and you can leave him right up back to the car.
Just lead him on up.
You can lead him on up. You can catch a bull in the nose, a cow in the nose, and do that. They can't stand that. The cow's got the nerve in that. Haven't you caught him in there?
No, I felt like doing it, but I never
well,
got
listen,
one.
Don't
I
you?
Can't get that close to him, Mr. Weaver.
Huh? Boy, the cattle ain't hard to handle. You've got easy to handle cattle.
Yeah.
You get these here brummers and all like that, all crossed up, no fighting kind. You got to be careful, and they make a dive for you. You know what they do when they come towards you now? If a cow come this way, throw his head down to butt you, how? What would you do and come up that way? What would you do?
I don't know. I
jumped
now,
to
one
side. Now come to me that way, and I'll show you.
You mean just twist his neck?
Yeah, like this. You catch him in the nose. Catch him in the nose. catch him in the nose, you can just flop him right on over this way.
Is that right? Is that right? Well, what would you do with them horns?
Well, if you grab him by that horn, hold it away from him, pull his nose this way.
Oh, yeah.
Pull him down there and hold him, stick your horn in the ground, and if you want to run then, push it down in the ground, he's got to work to get that horn out, then that gives you a chance to run and get on your horse and leave. I never did do that, but I've seen other fellas do it.
Yeah.
I never did get caught quite that bad.
A cow coming at you, will she just come in a big speed or
they'll
kind of
come right at you, they'll come right at you this way, and they'll come right down and up this way, and he shuts his eyes.
He won't show up?
He shuts his eyes, and you step to the side of him, and he shuts his eyes. He don't see you make that quick step.
Uh-huh.
And you can just throw a great big one, just throw them over your hip right that way.
Is that right?
I've seen lots of them do that. I know they do that much, but I've been caught in the tide for I've known to have done that. Watch other people.
Yeah.
I don't know what they'd have done to me.
You know, I've been around some of those cattle, Mr. Weaver, that I generally stayed on the fence.
Well, listen.
Because, you see, they can move quick.
Yes, sir, and I'll tell you. Don't you never trust none of them, a gentleman.
No, sir.
Because their head's so strong.
A man, I didn't see this, but they told me a man had a mule who was so gentle that he just, and he kept it till 40
years old,
wouldn't get rid of it.
He raised the mule.
You heard that, haven't you?
I remember you were talking about it.
Well, he raised the mule, you see, and kept it
and
all
he come put his hand on his rump?
Walked up and it didn't hear him coming. Got to where he couldn't hear good, and it didn't hear him coming. It slapped it, and when it did, the mule kicked him and killed him.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Now, then they tell me that was true back when I was a boy.
Well, the mule couldn't hear him.
No, it didn't hear him, and the mule wouldn't have done it for nothing. Well, stop likes you. If they like you, they don't hurt you.
Yeah.
You take your dog going to hurt you if you like you, or your cow, anything. You take these horses out here. What if they like you? Now how do you all start to make one like you? Find out what it wants to eat, a little sugar or apple, and give it a little bit.
Is that what you do with dogs?
No, I don't. You do dogs that way. Find out what they want and how they want to be handled. You can't have them all their life.
That's right. That's right. All right. Mr. Weaver, when you get in the back there, on that...
You
on
get
that
right in the side of the spine right here, right the back bone.
Yeah.
You put your hand here.
Now you see, he really probes.
I use my thumb for that to go down in between the muscles, and if he don't grip, you see?
Yeah.
And it helps you.
Yes, sir. If you got a sore there, he'll find it.
Yeah. And when you hit it, if it's a little sore, you got to hit a little hard.
Yeah.
And if it don't quit hurting right then, you got to do it again. You didn't hit it hard enough.
Well, the thing that is I'm undecided about, Mr. Weaver, is whether I've got the sore before or after you.
Well, now, that kindly, you have to suffer that. It'll make you sore if you hit it too hard and won't do much damage if you don't. But if it's sore, it's going to hurt. Now listen, you got iron in there? I don't believe you got iron in there. I believe you have too.
Yeah.
You just hadn't come down. See, you brace yourself right there.
Now that some really gets it in there.
If you touch it right now, you'll see if you can do it on him now like I was doing it. You'll practice a little bit.
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Ray.
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Oh, I can do that. That feels fine.
And he knows where those places are. That's the thing.
I know where they all are, you see. I've touched them and made it move on myself.
Yeah.
Now, I can't get my hands back there. Of course, I can't do anything.
Uh-huh.
I have to just take the punishment.
Oh, how do you, can you get up against the door?
Right against the sharp
place.
Table or shelf or something like this and put right beside the back bone. See, I can't show you myself. I'll not go hard, but you just rub, put yourself back this way and you go up and down. Now, this left side, I can show you a little bit.
I
move them out just like that way. Like this way a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
Just go out this way. And I make that move on out my arm on that one. Then I change over on the other side. I would, but I can't now on account of that operation on the other side.
Yeah.
It needs it now, but I can't do that.
Now you get that clock down here, Mr. Weaver, and you keep working it down, and mm-hmm. and you got them wiry fingers.
Yeah.
Now if you get it up here, you want it to go away from your heart.
Keep it away from the heart. If you get around your heart now, you rub it lightly this way up and down and come around this way.
Yeah.
To keep it going back this way away from your heart. Make it going, if you can feel it going up there, if it's sore and affecting a little bit.
If it goes
and
on
it gets
there.
The draw and you're in there and getting sore, come, you start here and don't go too hard around your heart. Now it's dangerous. If you mash it the wrong way and it goes to your heart, it'll always kill you right there.
Show Debbie what you showed me about the arm. You know, pulling this thing out of it. Let me have your arm. You know, making it go down. You have.
You feel anything right now? That you do.
I feel that.
Well, hold my hand and let that go down your hand. You was making it hard on yourself. Feel it going down your hand?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You do.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's
good.
Okay, now
that
you can do it this way.
Wakes you up.
Pull them this way.
Uh-huh.
More like that. That does you good. All right, we used to do this and playing baseball. Work all the arms here this way.
Oh, that feels good. Mm-hmm.
See, it makes the blood and our nerves move and comes down.
When you're playing baseball, you do what?
Do start up this way and go up, you know, and come out this way. You see it?
Yeah.
And the arm and feet a little sore and stiff if you pitch and play.
Yeah, pitching and so on. Everybody's got a throw.
And, you got sore, but if you do that with all of them, I do a lot of them out of the way, and the other teams didn't do it, you see. And if I was going to pitch, and I was pitching, I would give all these exercises. Come here, let me show you now how it goes down your arm. And you can start this way and I'll put you up this way a lot of times. Put your arm right on my shoulder.
What do you know? Yes, sir.
See, it's better to throw the harder balls to throw from your shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh.
And your curves break with your wrist.
Yeah.
Break a side arm, they'll jerk a cake in you. I jerk one in mine.
Yeah.
And if you turn the ball loose, let your arm be straight and twist it right here.
Let your arm be straight.
Let it be straight that way and it'll go faster.
Well, I didn't know that.
And I used to throw an underhanded ball and pitch it this way and twist it this way, but that'll run the arm.
Yeah.
And I like to run myself and I had to quit pitching.
Before you found out about it.
Yeah. Big pitch. Pittsburgh pitcher showed me how to take care of my arm.
Yeah. Well, now that was before you come down here.
No, he showed me that after to get that kink out of my arm. I had 10 now when I came down here.
What is it?
After I came down here, he showed me that. I told him I had a kink in my arm. I didn't pitch anymore. He says, "Where?" I said, "Right here." He says, "That's a little thing." And he took that out just in a little bit.
Is that right?
He took that out of my arm just in a few minutes. That fit. He said if it had been in your shoulders, you could never have sewed anymore.
Oh.
And he said, if you pitch from now on in your shoulder, I went back to pitching. And he got that kink out and showed me how to do it, you know.
Mr. Weaver, what did that bank holiday do to the baseball players around here?
To the baseball players?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just paralyzed everything, practically.
Yeah.
Baseball and everything.
All the baseball I hear about is back before 1929.
Before 29?
Mm-hmm. After that, I don't hear much.
Well, they get that, it's all on television now. Baseball's on television.
I mean 29.
Oh, and what 29? I'll tell you what,
before
too.
Before the crash.
They got something. They stopped letting town go and play with the students that went to school.
Yeah.
They stopped them, wouldn't let them, the town go out there, and old players and old people go out there and play with the boys.
Yes.
And if they did play with one out there in the town, the schools wouldn't let them play on the school team.
Yeah.
And,
oh.
And that's the way they broke it up, for having little teams around home, you see.
Oh, that slowed down the older fellas. They didn't have the...
Well, the older fellas are doing it just to have play with the train the children. how the children have something to do. But when they took it all over to the schools, you see, if they played on a town team or any other team but that school is going to, they couldn't play on the school team. Yeah.
And then the school would hire a coach.
Yeah.
And he'd keep up with all them things, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and he'd try to keep up with it. See, they wanted to train it and get it in school to train themselves. You see. Like kind of like football, you know, you got to have a good man. Well, we did it. Well, see, when I was coming up, there's a friend of ours he is a coach at Howard College at Birmingham, and he's really not far from us. Well, we had a little country team. We got him to come out there and show us how to play baseball, what to do.
Yeah.
He said, always get the ball, take one step, balance, get yourself, throw it, you throw out more people, and there you would never throw one away. He said, don't try to throw it too quick, you throw it away. Yeah. And the man then will go on to second base or maybe third, throwing the ball away. He said, it's better to let him get one get safer once in a while that you could have throwed out than it is to let him get two bases. So that's where to get your score on. And he told us how to play baseball.
Well, kind of, Mr. Weaver, in a way, then, when the schools started up, that sort of knocked out the town.
We don't have no town teams anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because, you see, we didn't want to do nothing against the students, you see.
Yeah.
And we wanted to, we played with them. Well, we old ball players, you know, just we knew as much as the coaches did.
What's the last you played? In 29?
No.
I mean, you played mostly.
You mean what year I played most in?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I played on up the last past 40 years old.
Did you?
And when they took that out, I quit going out there and playing with the boys, you know. And the other fellas, too. And there's a lot of, see, old ball players and town people. If they couldn't play baseball, we'd put them out there to get a team. We'd play the high school.
Yeah.
We'd play the school. We had a school in Mickinoka. We'd get up the town team and let them pick out the nine of the best players, and we'd take these other little fellas to fill in and what we need them. And we all got out there. Boy, did those school boys want to beat that town great.
Yeah, right.
Now, they played for life.
Yeah.
And these little fellas played with us. They played because they soon wanted to get on the school team. Yeah.
But that was before, that was in the 30s.
Yeah, the 30s lasted long in the 30s.
Yeah.
It lasted. Well, it was all right, and in a way it's a good thing. You see, the teachers then got to teaching playing ball more than they did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The teachers didn't, it's a good thing to have those fellas to teach us to train them.
What did Camp Blanning, Mr. Weaver, that took a whole lot of fellas out of the neighborhood too, didn't it?
Yeah, there a lot of people worked pretty much at Camp Blanning. A lot of them went overseas and never has come back. A lot of them around here too.
Well, I was thinking about just going over there to work and build stuff and all.
Oh yeah, for a while that season was in the works going on here. Then you see why then the carpenter in the works going on around here. Well, I told them when they quit there, come back here. When they got quit over there, and I told them needing lots of carpenter work more done in Gainesville and all around here. And they needed their carpenters. And it helped out. But a lot of people got killed on account of the city. But it helped things. But
Mr. Williams, show them how you and Dr. Roseborough. He's a professional wrestler. I didn't realize that.
Or Dr. Roseborough was.
Yeah, Roseborough.
Well, you didn't know him. See, he didn't live long after I came here.
He
wanted to show me when I first came here, well, I was strong and healthy and weighed a whole lot more than I do now and been working around sawmills saying I was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Roseborough was large than I was, and he was talking to me. He was a good friend of mine. He wouldn't hardly charge me in saying you'd tell me, you know, and to help me. He told me one time he wanted us to catch around now. Catch around. I won't pull, don't you?
All right.
Catch right around. of it.
Oh, yeah?
He told me he owned the catch. Now, he knew what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, just tried to come down and see which one could outpull right there.
Oh, yeah? Just squeezing like that.
Yeah, squeezing like that, you know. And the harder you get, harder I get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed.
And he said...
Cool.
He said... My, He said when he hollered to quit, didn't he?
To quit, you see. He wasn't pulling hard enough to make my place up here. Pull with him, he can pull.
Pull
that. I can pull you.
No, I don't want to. I can't pull you. You was taking care of me. You could have pulled me down if you pulled all you could. I was just teasing you about
and
that.
And you hadn't pulled half of your strength.
And he'd get away, but man, he was about 60 some odd years old,
yeah.
And naturally.
And heavy.
And he wasn't. He didn't weigh too much more than I did.
Oh, didn't he?
And
he's a wrestler.
He said he was a professional. I didn't know it, but he was going to show me how it was done. You see, but he told me before I went to. I said, Doc, you just make you're laughing at me. He said, no. He says you're strong. To your size. I said, not as strong as you are, and then you're a professional. And he said, I believe you're stronger than I am. And he told me, he said, it's glad you come down. Well, I thought he was kidding me. I just thought he was kidding me about coming down that way. I was looking to give in any time.
Mm-hmm.
But all at once, he just quit, you know, that way, and he said, great goodness, I believe you broke my ribs. Well, you don't scare me. I was afraid I had hurt him, and he was the best friend I had. Well, you see, I was young, and I was middle-aged, you see, and young and been working. Well, he is a professional doctor. He wasn't lifting and building his muscles and hadn't thought about using his muscles. But you take now like he's out here handling these cows and picking up things. He's strong.
Mr. Weaver, I won't go into that, but when did Ms. Boyle put in them front steps out there?
What year that was?
After the war?
He did them.
Yes, it was after the war. Because I went to Cartman after the war.
Yeah.
And it was after the war. And... what you want me to say?
She had them mean dogs.
Ooh, she had a boxer bull trained to take anything you picked up away from you.
Well, don't tell me.
And I told her, I said, Miss Boyle, I said, now did you want me to tell that or not?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell it then. I said, Miss Boyle, I said, you'll have to keep that dog up if I do that work for you. I don't want that dog trained dog to get a hold of me. I may accidentally. I can't be watching for him all the time. Well, she'd go and get garbage down to the wrestling ring and come back and feed her hogs, you know. She put him up a few times. One day I didn't know she went off and left the dog out. Mr. Boy just happened to me. He'd come right around the building there to get some brick or get something to bring around there while I was building the steps at the front. I started to reach back, and that blooming dog was standing right over me, and I started to pick up something behind me. Boy, did that scare me. I knew it and all that. I just eased back this way, and I picked up my helmet, and I turned around, and he was still just sitting right ready to get me, you see. And I stood there a little bit, and kept looking him in the eye, and didn't move, and nothing. I was going to use a hammer on him if I had to. So he took the turn and went on off.
Oh, did he?
Just got out there and wouldn't go for a little piece. He stood down, watched all the time, let me do what I wanted. Mitchell started to come around the corner there and reckon he saw it was all right, let me stay there. He made a dive for him, and I hollered at him, and Mitchell hollered, and he liked to got Mitch.
Oh, really?
And I hollered the dog. I told Miss Boyle, that Miss Boyle, that dog liked to got Mitchell and me too. If me not seeing if I reached back and hadn't looked around, I don't know where she would or not. She may have forgotten it, you know. I wouldn't say she didn't or didn't, because I wouldn't want her to say that. Because I don't know, but I know one thing. I sure was scared. I don't like a biting dog.
You didn't have any roofing nails under there, did you?
Roofing nails?
Yeah. You know what I did the other day? I was under there, and I got to doing something, pulling a vine or something, and looked there, and there's them little roofing nails. And I picked up a whole batch of them. There was about 2 quarts of them.
Was that under the step or?
Under the porch. Or were that close to the steps?
No, somebody.
And they wasn't rusted at all. And you take them, if you bought them now and left them out 5 minutes, they'd rust.
Somebody, so it seemed to me like since you mentioned that, somebody had put roofing in the house.
Yeah.
About that time. Uh-huh. I seemed like that. Well, I've got to feed my dogs after you get to the house. I fed them, put no paper in them, and sleep on tonight.
They would better go help you.
I've got to. I said 30 minutes, and over here, well, how long are you letting me stay here?
I didn't even think to look at my watch, Mr. Weaver. What time you got?
6 o'clock, 5 after what I have.
This don't keep real good times.
Mine don't either. Mine may not be right.
Well, you have to wait just a minute. Now, you can heat this, Mr. Weaver, when you get home. There's nothing in this that'll bother you. It's not any pepper and salt, you know.
She cooked that for you by your
resume. You.
Well, listen, don't y'all go so much trouble for me because I'm not able to return it.
Well, we might get a little dog burger.
Listen, I didn't tell him he hurt me a minute ago, Dad. That's when I turned him loose.
He told me to squeeze now.
Well, you did, right? You didn't squeeze half as much as you could on you at all times. He was afraid he would.
Well, Mr. Weaver, I'm going to work on my foot the way he said.
Well, you try that there. Listen, if it doesn't do you any good, I hope it didn't do you any harm.
I don't think so.
That's what a doctor, they told us on the doctor one time. He'd always, when he went to the patient, you know, any doctor and picked him up some medicine and, you know, the little knives. He knows about the little knives. They used to dose it out and put it in powder and give it to him. And this doctor would always say, well, he says, this medicine don't do you any good when they go to leave. You know, he says, I hope it don't do you any harm. And here's a joke I made up on myself. I tell him, I says, I'm Dr. Weaver. I practice under Dr. Dunn. He killed all and cured none. I said, why don't you doctor on me? I said, no, I'm going to doctor on you now. He said, I'm afraid you'll kill me. That's just how it was fun to tell little jokes, you know.
Oh, dear me.
Yes.
Well, I like people to put a joke on me, then I can put it on somebody else.
Weaver, did you have to use dog collars in the
20s
in Alabama?
You don't have to use them now, but we use them so people, that if we lose a dog and then if our friends find them and they don't know the dog, they know who to call. They call us up a lot of times and tell us where the dog's in.
Well, you could tell who your dogs were without a collar.
Huh? Oh, I don't put them on to see, tell where they are. I put them on so people, if I lose a dog and people catches it, he can call me up on the phone and then we go and get the dog.
Well, I was thinking that was so you could tell which dog it is.
No, if I just put my name and address on it, all we hunters do that. And then, you see, if my dog does something wrong, you catch that dog, you'll know whose dog to tell about it, you know. Then we, if it's good and dirty, we get rid of that dog.
When people used to like throw your dog in around the 50 days and he'd stop somehow from their feeding, the dog didn't have a collar anyway.
Well, no, but at that time, we really haven't had them. I've had them nearly ever since I fooled them. So that if they did get lost, you know, I could find
Wait a minute, just do something. Just about a second.
Right there?
Right from there down.
Can you feel it?
Yeah, I sure can. Oh!
That was one of
those. Go ahead. That's what it is needed. Go ahead.
Now, let your hand be straight down.
Wait a minute now.
Let your hand be down.
Okay.
Lean against the wall.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm not going to yell.
Now you see that probing of that son? Telling you, he gets in there.
that's the one that needs it now. Just take it now.
Okay.
Don't lean again now.
Okay, all
just,
right.
Just
okay.
Be still now. I'm not.
Okay, yeah.
Now I'm not going to hit you too hard.
Okay.
Just be. Is that it?
Not quite.
That is?
Almost.
That is?
That's it.
That is. Now I'm supposed to heat that real hard now.
You gonna hold me up?
Did you feel it go down the hand?
I sure felt it. Feel it right along here.
Right out of here. Come
yeah.
This way. Feel it going on?
It's
true. It's not back up there now, is it?
I'm a fool.
It's not up there now, is it? What are you
doing?
What you doing with it?
Mr. Weaver, how much I owe you?
Nothing. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that anymore if I charged it.
Now that's just different. You know, I've had that thing, you know. You know, I told you, that's what it was.
You see, I was hitting all the way around. Well, you told me it was hard first to get working around the iron to get you not jump to it when it got that sore on
you. When you hit it, ooh, that's really
something. Well, listen, just stay there and take it. Don't move. And when you feel it go out, then catch it up. If it don't swim out, you can catch it above. Yeah, and just rub it on down. And just go rub it on out, rub your fingers, and get that out. Now, those things hurt, you know.
Oh, it's been I've had this for 10 days.
You have?
And you haven't worked on me.
Well, I didn't know it. You see,
Mr.
The truth, I'm not, according to the law, I'm not supposed to do this.
Well,
but
that feels a lot better.
I do it to help people, not
you
to
help. You want to get the weather?
Yeah, if you can get it.
Every night. 2 minutes.
About 2 minutes, sir. That's where that door is cool.
Yeah,
that's a good
idea.
Come stand over there, Mr. Weaver.
Let me stand up. I've been sitting around. You know, we sit around over yonder and I talk. And
at night court session. That's the wrong thing. You'll be ready in a minute.
Ooh. That come back yet?
No. It feels so good to be at the room.
He gets through in a minute. We don't need to listen to him.
Gosh.
You don't help me to do this.
Yes.
It just toned you up, Mr. Weaver.
It sure does. It's wonderful what it is.
Why don't
for
you learn how to do this? I'm
working on my foot. Mr. Weaver worked on my foot this afternoon. It feels better than it has in about a year.
Listen, you all can take it.
What's wrong with your foot?
I got a bunion. Mr. Weaver moved the joint around.
Oh, is that the one from... What did I forgotten?
Yeah, I got it just walking around too. I had shoes that didn't fit.
When was that? Last summer?
Yeah. Last winter.
Why don't one of you all... Go to chiropractor, go to take chiropractor. We need it. It's a good thing.
Yeah. At least take a lesson or two, couldn't they?
Yeah, you can take a lesson and learn. You just go to chiropractor, doctor. I don't know what to charge you now. It charged me $2 back in the 20s. And that's where I learned it and practiced it since then. That's where I learned it. Just went, took two lessons.
That's the first time I've been able to move that shoulder back there.
I had a fellow once or twice that hit me if they had been able, but they weren't able when I knocked that out of them. It's been that long. He told me afterwards that I'd have hit you, but they weren't able.
Well, I'd have hit you when you hit that if I could have.
I know, but you can't do it. I don't know. What is that, a blood clot or a nerve?
Nerve.
When you move that thing and break it loose, it sure does feel good after it quits hurting. But it's going to hurt for a little bit after that.
Yeah.
If it's been there several days.
It has. It sure has.
My neck's from this place back there. This cold weather's making it hurt. I don't know if I can turn my head tomorrow or not. Maybe I can. Keep rubbing it. I'll be calling you all up until you come rub my neck for me. But you
take warm up. Well, it's seldom this cold here, so the temperatures have just definitely got to go up. Well, today was definitely a wintry-like day. Didn't look like the St. John's River or Jacksonville. And it's not very often you see snow on the roadside. This chunk of icy snow was found on I-95 at the Duval County line, apparently fallen from a truck from the Carolinas. With that bitter cold outside, our temperature right now is 41 degrees. That's also our high for the day. The temperature came down within 1 degree of freezing, 33 degrees. Although ice can freeze in bird baths and things like that with temperatures as high as 40 degrees. So if you saw ice, that's not the air temperature, that's the temperature of the water. The humidity presently stands at 70%. The barometer has risen to 30.28. Winds are blowing out of the north now at 10 miles per hour. No rainfall measured here today. Over the southeast, partly sunny skies, but chilly weather in central Florida, 50 degrees in Orlando. Did get up to 74 with winds off the ocean down in Miami. It's a cold 47 and cloudy in Tampa. Cloudiness over most of North Florida, 41 in Tallahassee, 37 degrees in Alma, Georgia, 40 and cloudy now in Brunswick, but still below freezing up in Atlanta, 26. No freezing rain there. The clear sunny skies in Nashville and in Asheville at this hour, with 5 inches of snow on the ground in Asheville, 7 inches on the ground in Raleigh. Our two-day forecast indicates that those fronts down in the Gulf of Mexico will be acting up a bit for the next couple of days. First, for tomorrow, we find that the low pressure will be developing in the western Gulf of Mexico, spreading snows across Oklahoma, Arkansas, into Mississippi and Tennessee, rain along the Gulf Coast, thickening clouds across Georgia, some sunshine but cool weather across Florida. On Thursday, those rains will be here, a warming trend coming up the state. It may not reach Jacksonville, it'll be very close, while snows will blanket much of the northeast, southeast, north of Atlanta. Presently along our coast, the small craft should remain in port as those seas are rough. Waves in the Atlantic will range from 4 to 7 feet, and north winds 12 to 22 miles per hour. High tides around the midnight and noon hours, the next low tide at 5:42 in the morning. Normally, with a north wind, which may become northeast, we don't expect freezing temperatures. But since the winds are still out of the north, it could still get down around freezing around the beaches, around 30 degrees in Brunswick, 28 in Waycross, 30 degrees in Lake City, 32 in Gainesville, and 33 in Palatka.
Howdy on.
Okay.
It's
be cold.
Yeah, there's a good frost on it.
That's
the trouble.
Let me see. I'm supposed to put my package on.
Mr. Weaver?
Uh-huh. Well, good
sure
night. I enjoyed the visit with you.
I sure love you for getting me well.
Well, you go ahead and any time now, you two.
Okay.
Teach them how to do this.
You do it.
Yeah.
All
if
right,
if you all can't get down, I'll be glad to help. Good night. Good night.
He moved that thing.